Well, that illustration brings out the nature of the rebellion that lies within all of us in the human heart. The father knew that disaster could strike in an instant if his son wasn't buckled in and an accident were to occur. Likewise, God has given us his word to guide us and instruct us because he cares for us. And God knows that disaster can strike in an instant if we are not buckled up with God's word. So you have your Bibles, if you'd please rise as we read the first 15 verses here in 1 Samuel 13. And the word of our Lord says unto us, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward of Beth Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we thank you tonight that we can know that you are a loving God. And because you are a loving God, you have given us a loving word to show us the danger of rebellion. Lord, as we preach this series on the making of a rebel, we pray, Father, that you would help us to root out any rebellion within us. Lord, that your Spirit would show it unto us. Father, that you would help us to see the absolute and utter foolishness of rebelling against the Lord our God. Lord, that you might get us straight. Lord, we ask you to work in our lives in a way that would root out everything that would come against you, that we might obey you in all things. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Now, if I was to say unto you, is God a loving God? I know how you would answer that. Every one of you would say, amen, hallelujah, our God is a loving God. And yet our God knows that disaster can strike in a heartbeat if you and I are not buckled up with His Word. God, when we say He's a loving God, I think it's important to remind ourselves every morning that God wants nothing but the best for me. And we ought to maybe also add, am I going to give God today all of me, the best of me? God wants nothing but the best for us. And despite our knowledge of that truth, we also know the truth that there is within all of us at times this little trickle of rebellion that can surge into a raging torrent where we can harden our heart and refuse to do what we know God would have us to do. That's why a very important question to consider is this: is God the king of my heart, or is someone else sitting on the throne? That's a very important question to consider in light of the illustration just given. At times, we can all be like that little boy, amen? I didn't think I'd get a big amen there now. Nobody wants to admit to doing wrong, do we? But you see, that little boy's heart was being ruled by his own desire. Can I ask you, has there ever been a time in your life when you've been ruled by your own desire? You were going to do what you wanted to do no matter what you knew what God said in His Word. You were doing what you wanted. He complied with his father's command, but it was not from a heart that was willing to obey. He was doing all that he should on the outside, and yet on the inside he was full of it. He was full of rebellion. So far in our series, In the Making of a Rebel, God has shared with us the heart condition of the children of Israel. Did you know that the only part of us that God is concerned about is our heart? Family and friends, every single day that we wake up, that God gives us, God looks at us to see who we are allowing to rule in our heart. God knows right now, even as I begin to speak tonight, God knows who truly is sitting right here in each and every one of us. Just as He knew who it was that was sitting on the throne of Israel's heart. When they asked for a king so they could be like all the other nations, what God saw in them was a rebellious heart, a heart that said, we will not raise our children for God because that's not what is important to us. We will not have God telling us what to do. We will no longer heed the counsel of the Word of God. You see, we want to be like the world. Boy, that sounds an awful lot like what's going on in America today. Today, all of God's people fight that battle. Family and friends, who among us has not felt the pressure to conform at one time or another? You see, every single day, the world is seeking to make us conform to its image. We are to be the salt and the light of this world. And we cannot do that if we conform to this world's standards. God has asked us to be different. And in this age, wicked age of tolerance in which we are living, can I ask you, why is it that the Christian is asked to be tolerant of every view, of every lifestyle, of whatever the world would want to do, but if we want to raise the name of Jesus Christ, the world is not tolerant of us Christians? I say that the doctrine of tolerance is the greatest evil going in this world today. And I pray that you and I will not be conformed to the image of this world, but that we will stand on the rock that is the Word of God. God has asked us to be different. God has asked us to stand against the ways of this world. And yet, there is within each and every one of us this constant battle of whose image I am going to be conformed to. Now, Saul was a rebel through and through. He was great at saying all the right things. Can I ask you tonight, is there someone in your world who always is good at saying the right things? Only problem is they can never do what they say. They're great at making promises unto you. But his desire was only for himself. Saul cared only about one thing. Not that he would look good in the eyes of God, but that he would look good in the eyes of people. People were more important to him than God. This was one of his greatest weaknesses and his tragic mistake. You see, the approval we need is not man's. The approval we need is God's. One day, God's word teaches we are going to stand before Almighty God. And God may say, why should I let you into my heaven? For those listening on the live stream tonight, I would ask you, how are you going to answer that? And for you sitting here, how will you answer that when God should say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? Have you ever considered what answer you will give? Family and friends, please understand, it's not the words we say, but the actions of our lives that give the true testimony of who really rules this heart of ours. That's why time and again the Bible teaches that God will give to each one according to their deeds. Our deeds are the actions of our lives. And the actions of our lives testify to who really rules our heart's throne. Rebellion ruled the hearts of Israel, and it led them to choose the rebellious Saul as their king. God has given us, in His Word, He's given us His Word so that we can go to school. This is a textbook, if you will. That God allows us to go to school that we might discover His will, but also that we might learn from the characters that God speaks about. We study the Scriptures so that the Holy Spirit can illuminate our hearts in the hopes that we would ask ourselves the question, could any of what is true of Saul be true of me? Is there any among us who would say they have every avenue of rebellion in their heart conquered? Tonight, God is going to outline for us in this message the steps to rebellion. And the first step is impatience. Can I ask you, I'm just going to ask you anyway. How good are you at being patient? We live in a very demanding world, a world that desires to live by the motto, have it our way. This instantaneous microwave society in which we live sure does not lend itself to being patient, does it? And yet many times throughout the Word of God, we read these words, wait, wait upon the Lord. Saul was asked to wait. He was asked to wait until Samuel came. God told him, you need to wait upon the Lord, and he failed miserably. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 in verse 8, we read Samuel's instruction of God's will for Saul. 1 Samuel 10:8, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offering. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. Now it's important for us to note that only a priest could offer sacrifices, and only a prophet could tell the army what to do next. Samuel holds both of those offices in Israel at this time. Saul had but one thing to do. Many times in our lives, we have but one thing to do, and that is to wait upon the Lord. But Saul's in a pickle, if you will, because the Philistines are bearing down upon him. And sometimes in our own lives, the pressures that come bearing down upon us. Can I get an amen? And we need to wait. And the people that he is the king over, they are running away from him. They're scattering. Have you ever been in a situation where waiting upon God seems hard? What did you do? Family and friends, Samuel was the bearer of God's word. And Saul's job was to wait for it. Would you all agree with this? It's hard to be patient and wait upon God at times. Amen? It is hard to wait. It is hard to be patient. It is hard to do nothing when you think you should be doing something. It is hard to be silent. It is hard to wait upon the Lord. And God wants us to know that the first step to rebellion is impatience. What we need to understand is that it is in the waiting that our trust in God is increased. It is in waiting when we really are standing on the promises of Christ our King. You can mark this down somewhere. Whenever we choose to do what we think is best, we have rebelled. You see, Saul was to wait on God's timing. Instead, he chose to disobey God's direct word to him. You know, I think about this, and I think about one day you and I are going to stand before Almighty God. The whole world is without excuse because God has given this world His Word. None of us are ever going to be able to stand before God and say, well, we didn't know, we were ignorant. No, God has given the world this Word. Many of us, as I say, the years are getting on up there on some of us. We've had plenty of time to read this word. We've had plenty of time to discover what God has said. We are without excuse. Many of us have been in church most of our days. How many sermons have you heard? How many Sunday school lessons have you listened to? Think about all the opportunities that God has blessed you with. You see, we are without excuse. We need to do what God has said. That's why the Word of God says, be ye a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. You see, Saul was to wait on God's timing, but he was impatient. People are flying away. He really doesn't have a heart for God. All he cares about is looking good in the eyes of people. And because he does, he doesn't wait. And he offers the sacrifices. One of the major biblical truths that we're to learn, Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How good are we? How good are you? How good am I when it comes to waiting upon God? Saul was horrible at it because he was an impatient man. How patient are you? The second step to rebellion is the rejection of God's word. You see, according to Samuel's instruction, Saul was to not to act until he had received God's word on the matter. Do you think that God did not know that the Philistines would come out in force, that it would look like it would be insurmountable odds against Israel? Saul did wait until the seventh day, as he was told, but he did not wait the whole day, as he was told. And because he didn't, he rejected the importance of receiving God's word. This is going to be a pattern in his life. May I ask you, how important is God's word to you? Don't just give the church answer, because it's at home, that's who we really are. What we do with God's word Monday through Saturday determines how greatly we worship the Lord come Sunday. Anybody can look good on Sunday, but it's at home that God is really inspecting each one of us. What are we doing with the word of God? How important is it to you? Allow me to ask you this. By his actions, Saul confessed that certain emergencies rendered God's word unnecessary. When is God's word not ever necessary? Can we ever just disregard God's word? Saul did. To his thinking, I waited long enough. The enemy is approaching. The people are scattering. I've got to do something. It's interesting. When pressure comes, temperatures rise, don't they? Can I encourage us all to fight the urge to do something? Wait on the Lord. You see, whenever we give way to impatience, we're sure to reject God's word. God can do abundantly more than we could ever ask or think if we will just wait on the Lord. The answer is coming. It's right around the corner. Wait on the Lord. We just need to wait for his timing. The story is told of King James VI of Scotland. This man was notorious for being rude at the worship services of his church. He would talk to people around him during the pastor's message. He made it very clear that he thought that whatever he had to say was more important than what the pastor had to say. After all, he was the king. One day he tried that trick on an old preacher by the name of Robert Bruce. Pastor Bruce stopped the service and looked right at the king. And he said, "When the lion roars in the jungle, all the beasts of the field are quiet. The lion of the tribe of Judah is now roaring in the voice of his gospel." And he looked at the king and he said, "It becomes all petty kings of the earth to be silent." It's a sign of rebellion when by our actions we believe we are more important and can function without God's counsel. It's why Solomon wrote to encourage us in the Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Rebellion is evil. It is Saul saying to himself, "I don't need God, I'm king." It's America saying tonight, "We don't need God, we're king." It is a heart condition, family and friends, when we believe we can act without the Lord's direction. Our nation is in a mess because we've been trying to live without God's direction in America. A heart condition that says, "I'm sitting on the throne of my heart." Conversely, it's a sign of submission to humbly receive God's word and refuse to act without it. But Saul didn't do that. And Samuel lets him know God's position on the matter. And Samuel also lets America know tonight God's position on the matter. You see it there in verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly." How many of you would agree with me tonight that our nation has done foolishly? He says, "You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. We have not done the commandment of the Lord." What we've done in America is take down the commandments of the Lord. Is it any wonder we're in such a mess? "You have done foolishly," which brings us to step three in the steps of rebellion, the consequences and the judgment. Family and friends, God wants us to know that when it comes to rebellion, there's a terrible price to pay. Boy, we sure are paying a price in America today. In Saul's case, the judgment was twofold. According to verse 14, the first thing he lost was the kingdom. In rebellion, jobs are lost, money's lost, possessions are lost, reputations are lost, lives are lost, relationships are lost, and most importantly, opportunities to please the Lord are lost. Listen, the way of a transgressor, the Bible tells us, is hard. Rebellion exacts a terrible price. How many of you listening would agree tonight that in this nation, we are paying a terrible price because of our rebellion and our impatience? The second part of Saul's judgment was isolation. And don't miss this in verse 15. Then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul was left alone. We'll read the same thing when we come to chapter 15 and verses 34 and 35, where Samuel leaves Saul again because of his sin. And Saul is left with no word from God and no relationship with God's prophet. Sadly, there will soon come a time in Saul's life when he is in desperate need of answers and in desperate need of help. But because he has alienated himself from God, we find him going off to speak to the witch of Endor. Anyone who says rebellion does not cost anything is lying. Rebellion costs everything. For Saul, the price was incredibly high. We need to think about this. In our nation tonight, we have so much foolishness going on. We don't get the truth. We get people's slants on the matter. If you want truth, you better be living in here. When we live in here, we read and know that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin will destroy a people. The price for rebellion is incredibly high. What could impatience be costing us? We know what it's cost our nation. We're living in the time of judgment. What word of the Lord have we rejected in our own personal lives that may be costing us? When is the last time that our obedience cost us something? To come and to listen to God's word and not apply it to our lives is not to have listened at all. Why do you come to church? I pray it's because you want to become more like God. I hope that's your desire. I pray you come because we have great Sunday school teachers and we want to hear the word of the Lord. I pray that's why all of us are here. I pray you come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because friend, one day you're going to stand before Him. What kind of an answer are you going to give unto Him? Will you say, "Oh God, I praise you because that old crazy preacher of ours, he preached about rebellion, and Lord, your spirit got a hold of my heart, and Lord, I just want to be all that I can
stand before you. Root it out of me. Get it out of me. Let me stand with you ever and always. Let me stand upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. Oh, I hope that's what you pray. What would God want us to do with this message? Well, as a nation, He would want us to humble ourselves and to pray. As a nation, He would want us to seek His face. As a nation, He would want us to confess our sins, because God is a forgiver of sin. Oh, that America would fall upon their knees and confess their sins as a nation. Could you imagine God removing the coronavirus pandemic from us because we did what the Word of God said? We humbled ourselves and we prayed. We said, God, You are right and we are wrong. And oh, how we need God in America again. But what would He want us to do? I think He'd want us to evaluate ourselves. Let me say this about some Christians. Some Christians believe that because they've prayed a prayer, they never need evaluate their walk with God. They never need evaluate their own heart. That's just religious ignorance. The Bible tells us time and again, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. God would want us to examine ourselves. God would want us to evaluate our lives. God would want us to pray as David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I believe God would want us to remember it is not the words that we say, but the actions of our lives that testify to this truth. Is God the ruler of my heart, or is someone else sitting on the throne? You see, the actions of our lives, they tell God who's really sitting right here. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word unto us tonight. We thank You for Your mercy unto us tonight. Lord, we are here. We are living. We are listening. We have heard this message because Your word says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Father, we thank You tonight for being a faithful God, faithful to Your word, faithful to give us an opportunity to hear Your word. And now, Lord, You're also giving us an opportunity to respond to Your word. Father, You are a gracious God. You are a merciful God. You are a holy God who loves us and who cares for us and who wants nothing but the best for us. Oh Lord, may the actions of our life say that we recognize Your holiness, Your justness, Your righteousness, Your mercy, Your grace, Your forgiveness, that we might receive Your salvation. And Lord, may we live our lives in order to please You. Lord, that You would have the best of us. Lord, help us. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Brother Marty, if you'll come and lead us. Just before we sing tonight, I'm going to ask if every head would be bowed. No eyes open, nobody looking around. And let's just take a moment. And if God has spoken to your heart in this message tonight, and you have something that you want me to be praying for you for, would you just slip up your hand tonight? I want to be praying for you in the coming week. Yes. Are there others tonight? Oh, God, help me. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, God, help me in this coming week. Help me to be the light and the salt that I should be. Yes. Family and friends, let's stand and let's sing and close our service with this song. Brother Marty.
James, would you close our service in a word of prayer? Thank you.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word that you've spoken to us tonight. Lord, I pray that we will have a humble and obedient spirit. Lord, that we would wait upon you. Give us the strength and the faith to wait, Lord, to seek your will in everything that we do. Lord, we just pray for everyone that's here that you'd guide us through this week. Those that can't be here, we pray, Father, that you be with them. Those who are sick, Lord, we just pray that you would minister to them, bring healing in accordance with your will. Lord, we thank you again for your blessings and your love and your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.